Tournament National Championships. 27 SEC titles. 131 first-team All-Americans. 70 postseason appearances. 39 postseason victories. This is Alabama football. And this is Alabama Tradition with Martin Houston and Ryan Fowler on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
The past, present, and future of the Alabama Crimson Tide. That's Martin Houston. I'm Ryan Fowler. We're going to spend a lot of time here talking about this Alabama-Mississippi State game. We'll spend a lot of time talking about looking back, and then we'll spend some time looking ahead. And we'll also visit with William Barger. He's going to be with us coming up in about 30 minutes. It's always fun to be able to get William's thoughts, and we'll do that at 6:30. He'll join us, and we'll talk some Alabama Crimson Tide football. A lot of people have been talking about that 1990 Alabama-Tennessee game. I'd like to get these two guys to talk about that and a lot more. We welcome you in, Martin Houston, to Alabama Tradition. Hey, Martin, I hope all is well. Welcome into Alabama Tradition.
Glad to be in, Ryan. Tennessee week.
It is Tennessee week. It is.
Yeah.
Why do you hate Tennessee?
Because they're Tennessee.
Oh, okay.
Do you have to have a reason?
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, simple as that. Simple as that. And it's not like hate, but it's, well, maybe it is. I don't know.
They low down.
They some snitches.
They dirty. They some snitches. You know, they got that puke orange, you know.
Nobody looks good in orange either. And they wear the same three clothes 3 days in a row. Right? I mean, they.
Yeah, absolutely.
They wear
Is it just three?
Yeah, they wear it Saturday for the game, hunting on Sunday, picking up trash on Monday. Same clothes.
Oh, so they don't go to church on Sunday.
Well, they don't wear the orange. Right. Yeah, they don't. No, I don't. Yeah. Anyway, let's not get into that. We'll have to cover that another day. Let's go Alabama.
Yeah, absolutely.
Alabama, Mississippi State. Alabama played good. What was something that maybe you took away from that game? The level of focus on the road in the Southeastern Conference.
Well, you know, Ryan, one of the things that you wanted to see is, regardless of how good this team is or could be, two games prior to this weekend on the road, lack of leadership was glaring, you know. And so in this game, you felt like the leadership was there, and that leadership started on Monday, you know, with Will Anderson and others. And carried throughout the week and manifested itself on Saturday. So I would say that, and that is also what I think led to there being a full 60-minute game for the first time.
Well, and Nick Saban even talked about that, that you know, he felt like that this was one of the first time that we played all 60 minutes. So Alabama was, you know, headed in the right direction, but – let me ask you defensively, did it impact the game plan knowing that they were a one-dimensional football team? I mean, did that? Do you take anything from that? I mean, I'm not trying to devalue what they did, but it was kind of obvious what Mississippi State wanted to try to do.
Yeah, and not just wanted to try to do, that they're going to do. They're going to throw the ball regardless of what's going on. I don't know if I've ever seen. He is to – the passing game, what Coach Stallings was to the running game in our era. So there was no question. And I remember when we played Miami, the guys were like, hey, if y'all can't run the ball, y'all won't beat us. And I was like, have you seen us play anybody? If we couldn't run the ball, we weren't going to beat anybody anyway. And that's kind of the way Mississippi State is. So, yes, that helps, Ryan. But the players still had to have a commitment to executing because they did – that was a different scheme. Guys in different plays, playing zone behind it, adding a robber. So they still had to have a great week of practice in order to execute what we did. And I thought we executed it well, Ryan. I know, early on they had a couple good runs and they appear to move the ball. But that's kind of what you have with that offense is it's going to move the ball a lot. Mississippi State is going to move the ball a lot between the 20s. But when that field shrinks and they can only stretch you horizontal versus vertical and horizontal, that plan works. So the only way they beat a good team like in Alabama is if they get you out of position and make long, big plays. And we limited those. We played well in the red zone. We got turnovers and sacks. And all of that together, equals a 9-point, production.
Well, you look at the balance on Alabama on the rushing side, 218, 348 was the net on the passing side. If you look at first downs, they were able to run for 11 first downs, and they were able to pass for 11 first downs. Alabama was a balanced team, not when you look at statistically, but just what they wanted to do offensively, and it kind of kept the other team guessing.
Yeah, well, I think we sometimes mistake balance, Ryan. I think we sometimes think balance is just defined by, having 245 rushing yards and 255 passing yards, or 260. We call that balance. That's not what balance means to me. That can represent being balanced, but that's not just what it means. What it means is when you need to run the ball, you can run the ball. And when you need to pass the ball, you can pass the ball. In other words, you can do both sides of that pendulum whenever you want to. And if you decide to go a little heavy on the pass or you have some big plays like, Ryan, if you really take away the pass to the running back, which was really like a long handoff, the Jameson Williams run, his long one, you probably the rest of the game was pretty much the same on both. You see what I'm saying?
Sure, I do.
So it really wasn't. Those two plays, were really like 5-yard passes that went 60 yards. So, and that's what threw that balance out of whack when you look at the total yards.
You've always been a big fan of Brian Robinson, and, we talk about him very often, but, I think he's impressed me more in the last month and a half than maybe I've been impressed with Brian Robinson, but just the workmanship, the leadership. But Roy Dell Williams had a good game, 78 yards, 7.1-yard average. What did you see from Roy Dell that maybe allowed him to have that success? Confidence is growing, which is a good thing. Alabama needs to – backs in that backfield.
Yeah, he seems to be a little more explosive at the point of get off, if that makes sense. The hole doesn't have to seem to be as big or as long for Rodale as it does Brian. And so he's going to have more clean runs than Brian, meaning that, if you look at the end of the game, he's going to have a few more of those plays where he squirted through and got through clean. But Brian's going to be a guy that wears on you. So You know, I don't know if we're at a point where we're ready to start having some thunder and lightning or, you know, jab and body blow or jab and uppercut, whatever you want to call it. But Brian is more of a hard-nosed guy, going to get you those tough yards even when there's not a hole. He moves the pile. Wardell is a guy that can squirt through and has the potential to take it to the house, you know, every time he touches it.
Well, just a lot of fun to be able to see develop backs, and I hope Trey Sanders can get a part of that as well, because that can just help us in the long run of developing confidence. But did you see anything that these guys did with pass protection? Because I know that had been some of the issues. It was not where the ball was in the hand. It was the picking up some of those blitz packages from the backups. Any way to evaluate that? Did you see anything you liked, anything you didn't like from the backup backs and picking up the pressure?
Well, I mean, you know, you can always kind of tell. I don't think Mississippi State's blitz package was as complicated or as well executed as A&M. But I do think the backs as a whole did a good job of stepping up and filling it. But, Ryan, the other thing is I think we had some hot routes. You know, remember you asked that question last week about what do you do?
Sure.
I think we had some hot adjust routes to it, which added to, you know, the blitz pickup and the blitz protection. But I think overall the back seemed to show the physicality to step up in there and help out on blitzes, and that's what's going to help us to have more big plays down the road when we get to these teams that blitzes us a little bit more.
All right, I'd like to take you back Saturday night, and inside your house, if we could interview Miss Houston, when they went jumbo down inside the 1 or 2 yard line, and they brought in the jumbo package, what did you do? I mean, did you let out a yelp, or did you just say I don't way to do it? I mean, what was the reaction?
Of course, I can tell it. When we called timeout, I was already typing you a message, and I had to change it. I was about to send you a message that says, "Why are we not in jumbo?"
Sure.
And then we called timeout, and when they called timeout, I had to change it, and I sent you a message that said, "Hey, they're getting ready to send the jumbo package in, and when we come back out of this timeout, and they're going to run it to the left side." So, and that's what they did. So it was good to see.
I don't know if I want to read the follow up to that. It was pretty good too.
I mean, what was my follow up, Ryan?
We would be undefeated if we used last week.
Oh yeah, I did. I forgot about that. I did say that.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
and who would argue with that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, just you know, but I mean, that's Alabama football, Martin Houston.
Ryan. And Saban took a blow for his offensive coordinator, but that we going so fast we couldn't change personnel. That's so hogwash, I should say. You know, what Coach Stallings used to say? God, I forget, Ryan.
Something about eat your hat. Is that the one?
Yeah, I can't remember what it is.
Yeah. Oh, no, I think we got the audio.
I'll eat your hat.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, he said, if that's the truth, I'll eat your hat. Yeah.
That's right. Yeah. So that's what I was thinking with Coach Saban said it. If we're going so fast, well, the first thing you do when you're signaling in the play is signaling in the personnel. So if you're signaling in the personnel, that means that if you – Ryan, that would have been the – seventh play in a row inside the five, right? Where we had three to four wides and the back spread out and bringing them back into motion, right?
It would have been.
That'd have been seven times in a row. That's a philosophy. That is your mindset. If you do that and that many times, out of that many times, you never could find a way to sub the big package in because you're going so fast, I thought the whole point of going fast, Ryan, is that you had plenty of time left in the play clock, and it kept the defense from subbing, not you. Right?
Yes. Okay, so where does that come from, though? I mean, because I know we were at lunch yesterday, and I brought this up, that the NFL, you just can't do it. You can't move those mountains. Is it just simply a problem?
Unless you're the Tennessee Titans.
Well, that's true, too. But that guy's got a little advantage there.
Yeah, he's 250-pound lineman, runs 22 miles per hour. But,
right.
But no, Ryan, you're exactly right. I was talking to someone about it, another coach, and the coach literally said, that's that pro stuff, Martin. And that's what it is. That the pro mentality of you have to throw the ball at the goal line. You can't run it. That's what Bill O'Brien, I think, had fell into. But I think I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus this time. The other thing that coach said was, notice he said, not going to throw anybody under the bus this time. But next time, it better not happen again. That coach said that's what he was really saying. So,
well, and you know, it is a thought process. But hey, you know what? It'll give not only all of us as fans a different perspective. Maybe it gives that confidence, that offensive line. Hey, we believe in you, man. We believe that you can move. And really, if you go back to the latter part of the game against Florida, look at what they did to take over that game and finally win it. They ran the football.
Yes.
Just believe in your offensive line. Show them some confidence.
And that's what you do. And that's why I was saying, Ryan, when we did it, when we go to that type of formation, you're communicating you don't believe they can move. They can move the other team. And it speaks volumes to your confidence. I mean, I'm glad Nick Saban and whoever called the timeout and that we made that change. But we'll see if it's a philosophy or that was just a one-time thing because it was fresh on everybody's mind.
That's Martin Houston. I'm Ryan Fowler. We're going to come back. We'll do segment number two, and we'll look ahead. I got some stories, got some questions coming in for Martin Houston. We're going to share those. Then we'll talk to William Barcher coming up around 6:30 right here on Alabama Tradition, the past, present, and future of the Alabama Crimson Tide.
You are listening to Alabama Tradition with Martin Houston and Ryan Fowler. Your connection to Tuscaloosa and the University of Alabama Athletics on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Said a word all night, but the wheels are turning in her mind. Now I was riding shotgun, and I knew things had gone right.
All right, we're going to continue Twang Tuesday. That's what the country music theme is. We got William Barcher coming up here in a couple of minutes, and we'll talk some Alabama Crimson Tide football. Martin, I've asked you about this 100 times, but I go back to 1990. A very important win for Coach Stallings in year number one. And what do you remember about that game? Because I know you've shared a lot of stories about that, but today that was brought up multiple times on my show here in the afternoon. Hey, Martin. Martin.
Yes,
oh,
sorry.
Sorry about that. No, my bad.
No, that was my fault. I had it on mute.
Okay. No worries. No worries. Yeah, 1990. 9-6. What do you remember about that game? Because I know I've asked you about it 100 times, but people want to talk about that game.
Well, Ryan, it was one of those moments. It was our Lob Monroe of our era, I think, on the positive. You know, we had changed coaches. You know, Coach Stallings people questioned Coach Stallings higher. You know. hey, this guy's never won. He's never won anywhere. And at that point, we had started the season off 0-3 and had gotten, you know, tight win against Georgia and, you know, another close win and nothing to write home about. And that Tennessee team, Ryan, was a top 10 team, if I'm not mistaken, at the time we played them. They had, you know, guys all over the field that were, you know, superstars and big time. And we were just trying to right the ship, literally, and had no business, according to everything and the pundits and the heads of the day, at 2-3. But that win, Ryan, you know, it changed things, and it made us believe. And, of course, from that point on, from 93, we only lost three games, right?
I think that's right.
I mean, 91, we lost one. And then the next year we lost none. And, you know, we lost two more that year. I'm sorry. We lost two more that year. And then we lost one the next year. And then, yeah, I think that was it. Because we ended up with only five losses, you know, counting that year under Stallings. And then the next year, I think they went 12-1 after we left.
Sure.
So yeah, I mean.
not compared to Nick Saban, but, I mean, that's pretty good.
Well, actually, Ryan, I mean, that run from that point on, if you get past that, you know, that point, pretty good little run.
Yeah, it was. I'm just throwing stones.
Hey, listen, if we had the opportunity, if we had a national championship or a playoff run, that 11-1 team in 91 may have been able to win
point,
a championship.
Great point.
We won 10 in a row. We just had to, you know, we didn't have a chance to redeem ourselves against that Florida team. Next year we went undefeated. Next year they went all the way up into that Florida team again, I think. So pretty impressive stuff. And it all started with that Tennessee game. And, of course, the funnest part of that game for me, Ryan, is the fact that we're lining up, they're lining up to kick the field goal to win. We block it and it roll back far enough that we line up, kick it, and win after, you know, a couple plays. So pretty crazy turnaround, and the rest is history.
All right, so you're going to have to forgive me because you got to remember in 92 I was still in diapers. So no, I'm just kidding. But
funny.
I mean, if you want real jokes, I mean, somebody on this show was not alive yet.
Jacob, be quiet. Jacob, be quiet.
All right. So I hope I'm not asking a question that puts you at a bad spot. But I said, this came in and said, Ron, if you get a chance, ask Martin about what Langham said on national TV right before kickoff of the 92 game up there. Antonio told us Coach Stallings was not very pleased, and he said, 43, what were you thinking? So does that do anything for you?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Hey, listen, you have to remember that fans hear sometimes more than the players in the locker rooms do. Like that when things are happening, like the offense, we're off over here. Ryan, give you a great example. People always want to know, what did we think the first time we saw the 11-man defensive front in the national championship game, right?
Sure.
Well, you know the first time we saw it?
Would that
same time you saw it.
Really?
We were standing on the sideline. You think it looked weird on television? You'd be looking out on the field and realize, oh, my God, all of them are at the line of scrimmage.
What are they doing?
Exactly.
We haven't seen that.
Yeah. So whatever Langham said or did, usually with stories we find out later, but I'm not – if you tell me what he did, I might remember it.
Yeah, I don't. Somebody just asked me to ask, but We might have to get Langham to tell that story, but if it had something to do with Langham, I believe it. So yeah. Yeah. I mean, he was a pretty good one. So I don't know exactly what he said or what he didn't say, but that was a
point though. He was a young buck, so he may have did something pretty crazy.
Yeah. But 43.
I thought you were going to ask me about the fumble.
No. But you're welcome to tell that story though. I mean that's a good one.
What?
With Coach Stallings. I mean, I'll never forget. I told you one time. I said, I know what it's like to fumble the football. Coach Stallings gave me that look through the air, on the air.
Yeah, we were. It was 17-10, Ryan, in 92, and we didn't even run the clock out. And of course, the kiss of death, almost like the announcer's curse, when they say, "Hey, this guy's hit 10 in a row," or you know, hadn't fumbled in this many carries. So Stallings pretty much said, "Hey, let's go run the clock out." I had to say, "Get a ball to Houston. You don't ever fumble." Well, I fumbled.
Well, what did you do wrong? Did you evaluate? I mean, did you? I mean...
Ryan, it was in that type of situation. What you don't do is try to get extra yards.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
You just run the clock out, right? When contact happens, boom, you make the contact, you go to the ground. Because you're not – first down is not your goal. It's just run the clock. I mean, touchdown is not your goal. It's get your yards, get down. Well, I went through there, Ryan, and literally, I don't – they didn't tackle me. They tackled at the ball, and I just – I think I thought I was about to take it to the house and be the hero. And I didn't have the ball.
I've heard that one before.
I was wondering why nobody was tackling me. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, needless to say, when that happened, we were, say, I don't remember what yard line. But say Coach Stallings standing on the 35. I walked, like, all the way to the other 30 to avoid him. And he was calling. I mean, he had that, you know, I call it that official stare where he used to stare down the officials. He gave that to me, man. And if looks could kill, I would have been a dead man. So, but needless to say, Chris Donnelly made a great interception, picked the ball off, and the rest is history. I went out, hugged him, told him I loved him. And Ryan, the reason that was a big deal then, we were the better team. But if it had ended in a tie, if they went down and scored, there was no overtime.
There you go. Good.
It would have been a tie game.
Good stories. And that's what teammates do, man. They bail you out. You bail them out, they bail you out. And that's why yes. You call it a team sport. And we're going to talk with one of your teammates, William Barger, up in just a couple of minutes. We'll talk about the offensive line and a lot more. He's next on Alabama Tradition, the past, present, and future of the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Hot! It's awesome. You're having a fun! Have some fun, man!
Talking Alabama Crimson Tide football on Alabama Tradition with Martin Houston and Ryan Fowler in Tuscaloosa on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Off of my feet. I'm not a man of many words, so I'll make this short and sweet. Would you let you go now? If I ask you, would you wanna be my baby?
All right, so we welcome you right back into Alabama Tradition. We're gonna go with Martin Houston, myself. We're gonna go to William Barger, and we're gonna welcome him into the conversation. And I believe Martin is locked in. Is that right? So let me go to William. William, hope all is well. Welcome into Alabama Tradition.
Hey, Ryan. How are you, man?
Hey, very good. Very good. Very good. Martin and I were sharing some stories about Coach Stallings and different looks and chewing outs. What's the biggest butt chewing you've ever got from Coach Stallings?
We would have to take that into some type of pay-per-view venue. We can't. I mean, I can't tell the stories properly with the, you know, the rules that we're confined with on the radio.
Okay. Well, Martin was sharing the one that he fumbled against Tennessee, and that look, he said it was a pretty amazing one.
Well, I'm sure Martin's were probably a little bit more milder than mine. Mine tended to center around missing study hall and bars.
Hey, what's up, William?
Good, Martin. How are you, man?
Good. Don't tell all your business, man.
No.
Let it stay out there on the strip.
That's right.
Now, Martin, being a leader, did you ever have to go to the strip and get anybody? I mean, did you ever have to make that trip? I mean, was that part of your responsibility?
It was not. I never had to go to the strip, but I was occasionally asked to talk to guys to maybe help them make a better choice than to go to the strip. I was more the preventative guy than the go get the guy.
Well, William, we want to get your thoughts on a lot of different things, but just your biggest takeaway from Alabama's performance in Starkville against Mississippi State.
Well, I mean, I thought it was a great performance. You know, the players looked, prepared and engaged and, you know, excited to be out there playing as a group. And, whether it was, everybody getting excited about, Holden's first, touchdown reception or, Jordan Battle's interception, you could just tell there was a different vibe in the air Saturday night in Starkville versus the one that was, in College Station the Saturday before that.
Hey, William, did you sense, and having played, you understand this as much as anything, when the expectations are high, I didn't have to come back after winning a national championship. But you did, and football, it wasn't as fun. It didn't seem like it was as much fun for you guys, some of the guys that first four or five games into that next year, because it was all business, and it's like, we got to do this. And it's almost like the guys on Saturday, like Coach Saban, like, okay, the pressure's off. You don't have to be perfect like last year. Now let's go play and have fun. Did you sense any of that?
You know, Martin, I think the 93 season was kind of similar to the 90 season. We lost a lot of people to injuries. I mean, I think by the LSU game, David Palmer was inventing the Wildcat.
He was.
Quarterback for the first right. time, that college football ever saw that. You know, that's how thin things were at quarterback. And, we lost some other key guys. The injuries and maybe some bad calls here and there, kind of derailed us. But, certainly going into the season, I think we felt confident. I think we thought we had a good team and, things just didn't go our way. I think it's a little bit different, with this team because they're so young. This, as far-fetched as this sounds, and if you, base it on how guys are playing every Saturday. I think, probably the main leader on offense is a sophomore quarterback that's in his first year of starting and, a second year outside linebacker, that's in his second year of starting and at a program, especially like Alabama. And I'm not saying that there's other leaders, but I'm talking about guys that, kind of practice what they preach and prove it on Saturdays right. And in practice every day. I just think that's kind of where this team is. I think by the end of the, you're seeing, guys like Brian Robinson emerge. And certainly I feel like with the way he plays and his work ethic, he's got a voice. But it's just, such a lot of new faces. And, I do think with, the amount of, young guys that are factoring in on both sides of the football, I'm still not sure that, despite all of Will Anderson's, speeches, I'm still not sure that a lot of them fully understand and grasp what that standard, you know, is that, that, you know, the process produces. And, you know, I still think they're working their way through that. But, you know, certainly if they can build on Saturday in Starkville and, you know, keep that environment, I know they're going to be excited, you know, coming back to Tuscaloosa this Saturday to, you know, to play Tennessee, certainly. But, you know, I think there's just been some growing pains with this team. And, you know, I think probably some people fell asleep at the wheel this summer and didn't really factor that in. But, you know, it's just a different team, and a lot of talent was lost off of that 2020 team. And it wasn't just talent. It was a lot of leadership.
Martin Houston, Ryan Fowler, William Barger. Guys, and I, this is both question for both of you guys. I was listening to a coach talk, that's been about 2 weeks ago, and he said there's two things that you cannot fabricate in a locker room. He said you want competition. He said there's nothing, I'm telling you, when you got people that can push one another and you create competition, that's good. He said, but accountability in that locker room. He said when players hold other guys accountable, it's different. He said your coach can say it a million times, but a teammate says it, he said it just hits home a lot harder. Can you guys both address that a little bit?
Go ahead, William.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think that's kind of been the dynamic in a locker room, Ryan, from, you know, the beginning of football. I mean, yeah, the coaches can demand excellence in practice. They can demand accountability. But, you know, every team has got to have what I call enforcers. And that doesn't necessarily mean physical enforcers. Sometimes they turn into that. But, you know, you got to have a guy that, you know, if somebody's getting out of line and, you know, not doing things the right way, both on and off the field, you know, there's got to be somebody in there that's, you know, willing to get in their face and tell them they're going down the wrong road and that's not acceptable. And, you know, a couple of the guys that come to my mind, you know, from the Saban tenure, you know, Rolando McClain was one of those guys. Dante Hightower was one of those guys. And, you know, we could go on and on. Certainly, I think Landon Dickerson was one of those guys last year. But, you know, that just is something, you know, the coaches can't be with you 24/7. And, you know, that's just something that the team has to kind of police itself.
And I would add to that, Ryan, is sometimes what's amazing to me about Will Anderson is that he really is a young guy who came off, stepped on the field, I should say, playing at the Bama standard, and really didn't have a guy in front of him to show him what that was, you know.
Great point.
But he picked up on it from the other guys, if that makes sense. He watched Landon Dickerson and Mac Jones and Devontae Smith and all of that. But when you take all the other guys around him that didn't play that much last year, do you take all the new guys that are going to be playing? They don't know what it takes to win. They saw what that team did last year, and that team last year made it look easy, right? I mean, they made it look easy week in and week out. And I think Will Anderson was trying to get them to see it before it was a loss. And so, Ryan, that's what he said. You can't teach that accountability to work hard at practice every day and do the right things every day until. And that until was until Texas A&M beat us. And now when Will Anderson stands up and says what he says, he says, now you understand what I was trying to tell you. I told you it could happen, and you didn't think it could happen. And all of those young guys who were starting for the first time and all those guys who have never been there, now they had tangible things, and it wasn't just the coaches saying it because that's their job. It was a teammate saying it because he's been there, done that, and now he wants to get back there.
Do guys, when we look at Will Anderson, because I think we're all identifying him as the leader on that side of the football, he's just a sophomore. I mean, he's going into, you know, whatever number of games, 10 last year, the playoff games, the SEC title, and then, you know, going into game number 5 or 6, whatever, here. Because there's other upperclassmen on that defensive side of the football, but it looks like his unit on that side.
Well, I mean, Ron, I think that's kind of what makes him the elite player that he is. I mean, you know, if you look where he is statistically right now, let's just call it the midpoint of the season, You know, I think he's sitting with close to 50 tackles, 7 sacks, and leads the nation with 15 tackles for a loss. You know, this is a guy that, you can't coach having, a wingspan like he has. You can't coach his, 5 to 10 yard, get off quickness. That's just something that God blessed him with, and he certainly worked his tail off to improve on it. But, he's a guy that shows up at practice every day and, practices like he's a walk-on trying to make the 125-man roster. And that's just not the norm, for somebody that talented. I mean, Martin and I played with some guys that, you can't get away with this like you could 30 years ago. But we had quite a few good players on our team that, were so good and talented, they could kind of, take it easy during the week. And when those lights came on Saturday, they showed up to play. Might be, they didn't do everything in the weight room, or, they didn't, do all the conditioning, or, off the field stuff. But, it's become such a big business, and it's so micromanaged now for many different reasons. You just can't be that way anymore. And certainly Will Anderson is the opposite of that stereotype. I mean, just, he's got a walk-on's work ethic with a top 10 draft picks ability.
And William, the guy I would compare him to is a lot like Julio Jones, just on the other side of the ball. Saban always says, when your best player is your best leader, both on the field and off the field, that's such a rare combination. And think about that guy, Ryan. And leadership is, I think Saban, with who he took to Birmingham, tried to manufacture leadership, and it'll work for a while, but it doesn't work when there's manufacture or positional leadership, Ryan. Doesn't work when things aren't going right. And what you saw last week was things went off, and it didn't matter who Saban had tried to make the leader was going to rise to the forefront. But Saban always says, and I never forget that, he said, a leader is a guy who, when he speaks, there's not some glaring error in his game or his life that will cause everybody else not to listen. So when Will Anderson says, hey, guys, we got to get back on it at practice, then who's going to question that? When we're not practicing like champions, Will Anderson can say that, and guys will respond. Other guys on the team, Ryan, can't say that because they're like the guys William was just talking about. They have so much talent that they look good on Saturday, but they can't lead other guys to be better, and I think that's what Will Anderson does. I mean, we could talk about that guy. And here's the crazy part, guys. I don't think he's been healthy but 2 games all year.
Yeah, Martin, and also, too, when you factor in that at least for the last 2 games, especially with the numbers he put up Saturday in Starkville, it's a lot easier to be an elite pass rusher, when you've got, if you're Eric Curry and you look across the other side and there's a John Copeland, he's looking over there and he's seeing the third team Sam linebacker, who's a true freshman, still trying to, learn his way around. And, that's kind of hard to do because when opposing teams see that situation, that Dallas Turner's going to draw a single block, and Will Anderson's probably going to get a double or a triple team in a lot of cases.
Right.
Martin, you got a question for William?
Do what?
I was saying, if you got a question for William, go ahead. Then I got one at the end.
For me, William, I've watched the offensive line, and we had talked a few weeks back. What are you seeing as far as is this line growing? Do they have any more upside? And if not, will this offensive line, be able to get us over the hump? Because that Georgia's defensive front, the reason Kirby's doing what he's doing over there in Georgia, in my opinion, is he can put seven, eight guys back and get a pass rush with four guys that require everybody to be double teamed? Is this offensive line without much more improvement going to be able to provide what we need if we get to that matchup in a showdown?
Yeah, I mean, I think they're still, you know, they can still get better and improve. I mean, I think that, you know, that was a legit front seven that they faced, you know, in Starkville. Yeah. There's at least one guy on that defensive line named Nathan Pickering that I know, you know, Alabama wishes that they had gotten. But right. The thing that I think could you know, really make this offense scary is, you know, if the offensive line coach, Doug Marrone, can teach these guys, you know, better A-gap blitz recognition and better pass pro principles when they see, you know, stunts and twists. You know, a lot of that pressure, especially, you know, on the interior part of the offensive line with the center and the two guards, it happens in a lot of cases where, you know, the let's say the left guard and the left tackle have a three technique lined up in the gap between them. And, you know, that guy kind of splits the gap. And then, you know, they run a linebacker through the A gap and the, you know, the guard still doesn't trust what he's seeing. And, you know, is scared right. to detach from the three technique and pick that, you know, that inside blitzer up. As an offensive lineman, you know, especially in pass protection, you're always taught, you know, this from playing fullback, you had to do a lot of pass pro yourself. You know, you're taught to take the closest threat to the quarterback.
Closest threat,
no
baby.
Closer threat than somebody coming through that A-gap. So,
that's
yeah,
right.
I mean, I think at this stage, you know, I think the ability is certainly there. They just got to clean some stuff up, you know, with blitz pickups and pass protection stuff. And you know, if they can do that.
I got about 90 seconds here, then,
go ahead.
Is that based off of the lack of communication or ability for that center, or is it alignment across the whole front?
Yeah, I mean, that's not really, you know, if there's a three technique on the left-hand side, Martin, obviously there's going to be a one technique to the right. So the center is sliding to the right, makes that A-gap to the left side even bigger. So that's really something that has to be communicated to the, you know, the play side guard and tackle.
There we go.
Hey, guys, we got to get out of here. Great analysis. Martin asked the question that I was trying to ask as well, so that was perfect. It was a great way to end it. William, thank you for your time. I hope you have a great evening. We appreciate the opportunity.
Thanks, William.
All right, good catching up with you guys.
Thank you. That's William Barger. That's Martin Houston. We'll say goodnight. Hillcrest Huddle coming up in just a couple of seconds. Martin Houston tomorrow morning, 6 a.m. I'll see you at 2. Have a great evening. Roll Tide for Alabama Tradition.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A beautiful afternoon with a good supply of sunshine. The high today, 77. For tonight, clear with the low at 49. Tomorrow, partially sunny, the high 79. Thursday, mostly cloudy, a few showers likely, maybe a thunderstorm in spots, the high 76. I'm James Spann on the ABC 3340 Weather Center on Tide 100.9. It's 70 degrees in Tuscaloosa.